empty seats in the front. You all can come to the front and take seats. Good morning, friends. Well, today we are going to talk about the religions. Are you a prisoner of a religion? Dhamma piti sukang seti vipassanena cetasa. Says the Buddha. Happy are those people who listen the Dhamma. So this is a happy congregation. Noble are those people who practice the Dhamma, because Dhamma leads all the human beings who ever practice it to become noble individuals in the society. Wise are those people who realize the Dhamma, because the Dhamma leads to perfect wisdom. That is the enlightenment. So how can this Dhamma make you a prisoner in the first place? Well, before we move forward with our discussion, let's understand what is religion and how it came into existence. The word religion means binding to the God. That is what it originally means, religion. Binding to the God. Well, how does this religion come into existence? Buddha says, religion came into existence as a result of ignorance and fear. In his own words, he explained, Bahung ve saranang yanti pabbatani vananicha aram rukka chaityani manusa bhayatajjita. Because of fear and ignorance in the human mind, the religion came into existence. This concept that Buddha upheld is very similar and closer to the idea of those modern anthropologists uphold today. They too accept the Buddha's concept and they agree with the Buddha. So how did religion come into existence? It happened long ago, when we are very primitive stage, when we are not intelligent and wise. When we are living in a primitive stage in tribal groups, when we are not intelligent, we did not understand the world. We did not understand the universe. We did not understand the forces behind the phenomena. In the morning, sunrise, in the evening, it sets. At night, moons appear. The stars appear. Billions of stars we could see in the sky. Sometimes it rains and rains and rains and flooded. A lot of human beings died. Sometimes there was no rain, drought, and people died with starvation. All of a sudden, fire rose in the forest and it burned towns and cities. People and the other living beings died. Suddenly, thunder, lightning arose in the sky. And some human beings died. Volcano, earthquake, tsunami, tornado, all these natural disasters occurred. And primitive human beings were terrified. And always there was fear in the mind. And sometimes epidemics arose. Do not know why, all of a sudden, a lot of human beings start dying. because of various kinds of disease, but they did not understand. So they started to think why these things are happening. And they speculated these natural phenomena are to be certain type of unseen power, unseen beings. So they used their common sense to understand. Usually when human beings, when we are angry, we scold someone, we beat someone. When we are happy, we treat very nicely. So they used this simple logic that they were having. So they thought, well, there is a powerful being behind this process. So they thought, there is a God behind the rain. So they called it rain God. So when the rain God is happy, the rain God gives rain, but moderately. But when he is unhappy, he gave too much rain. Or he totally boycotted, totally stopped rains. So what did the people do? They started praying to the rain God. So the farmers, before they start their cultivation, they started to pray to the rain God. God, please give us rain. So in this way, they also pray to the earth God when earthquake occurs. They did a lot of prayers and offerings. Sun God, moon God, wind God, a lot of gods came into existence. And these gods spread even to the animals. So we have got tiger god, snake god, monkey god. There are so many other gods. So this is how it came into existence. And when the tribal people, when they went for their hunting, before they went, they prayed to their god. They believed. So this was a psychological need, in fact. Because the primitive men wanted to think that there is somebody somewhere who is looking at us, who always protect us if we prayed and if we obeyed, if we respect, if we made offerings. So in this way, they created this idea that there are some natural beings who are all powerful, all seen beings, behind these all natural phenomena. So many gods came into existence. Anthropologists, they call this kind of development as animism. And you all can read a bit, and it's very interesting. And it is according to the Buddhist concept. Well, when the human beings become a little bit more intelligent, they started to think philosophical questions about the life. How did we come into existence, the human beings, the other animals, this planet, and millions of stars? How moon and sun came into existence? How day and night appear? And they started to think, what is the beginning of this universe? Where is the end of this universe? So they were starting, keep on thinking and thinking and thinking, speculating. So thinkers, philosophers, they all started to think. And they think and think and think, they could not find an answer. So they created another answer to these questions. Well, all these sun, moon, earth, planets and all the other living beings and everything was created by an almighty God. All powerful, all seeing, one particular type of God. He is the chief of all the other gods. And that is the end. You cannot ask the questions, who created this particular God? Because then there is no end if you were to ask. Because there is no beginning to this God. So in this way, the human beings, they stop questioning and further questionings about this phenomena. And that is how the religion came into existence. When these concepts came into existence, they evolved another group of human beings who are experts in talking to the gods. The experts between the human beings and the God. And these people were known as religious people. And they are the experts in communicating with the gods. So when you have problem, you always go to these people. Right? Sometimes you go to the monks also. Because you want to reach to the Buddha. Right? Bhante, can you please pray for me? Well, Buddhism is different even though you practice it. Well, in this way, they evolved a group of people who call themselves religious people. And they introduce you various kind of rites and rituals. When you observe all these, what lies behind of all these processes is the concept that Buddha brought out. The religions came into existence because of ignorance, not understanding the nature and the cycle of existence, and because of fear. And it was psychological need. So, in time to come, in the process of forming the religions, it has psychological, sociological, political, cultural importance and aspects. Well, maybe it is a good question to ask. Do we really need a religion? What do you think? Do you think you need a religion? Why do we need a religion? Well, science and technology, no doubt, it has widened our understanding and experiences about the universe and our life. But the science and technology cannot give a meaning in our life. Scientists, they would say, there's no meaning in life, but you can use this life for any meaning you wish, for any purpose you wish. That's true. Materialists, they will say, there's only one purpose in life. The purpose is to enjoy, gratify. That's what the materialists, ancient materialists, is. They say, Yavat jivet sukang jivet rinankatta vritam pipet brahmi mutasya dehasi punaragamanankrita. They ask these questions. As long as you live, enjoy, gratify your eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body. Enjoy life. And once you are dead and gone, you are not going to come back again. That is what the materialists said in the past, and that is what they are saying today also. So only a religion can give you a purpose in life. Life is not complete when there are no material wealth and spiritual wealth. When there is no this balance, life is not perfect. Just like a bird needs two wings to fly properly, we need these two things to cultivate equally. Material wealth and spiritual wealth. In order to live as happy, intelligent, wise, noble individuals in the society. So religion is a need. Religion helps us to develop our spiritual faculties, spiritual happiness, spiritual wealth. So it is a need. A man without a religion can be very dangerous. Why it is so? Because human mind has got so much power, so much capacity, and so much energy. And if you do not guide these energies properly, then this man can destroy the whole world. So Buddha recognized the power of the human mind. And he says, human mind has got so much power, and it is how you are going to use it. And if you use this, the human power, for the destructions of the world, yes, that is possible. And you also can use this human power, the mental power, for the benefit of the world. So the religion comes into existence regarding the human mind. And we need the religions to guide the human beings to cultivate these immense potentials for the benefit of the others. Buddha says, Naham bhikkave ekadhammang samanupassami yata idam chittang. Monks, I do not see any other kind of power, any other kind of energy which can overcome the power of the human mind. Human beings has got so much power in their mind. We are not birds, but we can fly better than the eagles. We are not a fish, but we can swim better than the dolphins. We can go from one planet to another planet. We have conquered the earth. We have conquered the sea. We have conquered universe. Such is the human mind. And if you use this human mental power, energy, for the benefit of the world, then we can create the heaven on the earth. At the same time, we can use this human mental energy to destroy the whole world. And think for a moment, if humankind were to use the atomic bombs, nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, those destructive weapons that they have produced using the human mental power, and this world can be destroyed within a short period of time. So, this is where we need a religion to guide human beings, to train their human mind, to lead as noble individuals, to bring peace and harmony. So, the purpose of having a religion, to have a harmonious society, peaceful society. And it is the duty of the religions to make human beings understanding, compassionate, noble individuals. Buddha recognized again, the purpose of a religion is to help the human beings to overcome the animal nature of the human mind. Many people, they don't accept the fact, or they are not ready to accept that human beings are also animals. We are well-developed type of animals. What is the Buddhist terminology for this? Buddha says, Manangusatiti manusa. What makes us different from animals is our human mind. A living being who has got a mind which can be developed to the maximum level is known as a human being. So what is the difference between an animal and a human being? What is the difference? What do you think? Yes? Virtuous qualities. Well, one of the scholars says, Ahara nidra bhaya maitunancha samanya metat pasu bhiru naranam. Dharmehi tesha madhiko visesho dharmena hina pashubhir samana. These are Sanskrit words, one of the ancient language. And they say, Ahara nidra bhaya maitunancha. Taking foods, taking sleep, and enjoying sense faculties, enjoying sex, and all these are common for human beings as well as animals. But what makes us different from animals is dharmehi tesha madhiko visheshu, upholding righteous principles, upholding virtuous qualities, that make us different from animals. And we are recognized as developed living beings, civilized living beings. So human beings as well as animals, our base nature is greed, hatred and delusion. We all have this. So animals, when they have greed, hatred and delusions, they are motivated by them and they behave accordingly. But human beings, we are different. Even though we get angry, jealousy, ill will, cruelty, oh, we all have got all these things, but we suppress them, we control them. We try to be polite, civilized. So this is how we became humans, on the other hand. So, this is where we need a religion. Why we need a religion? To overcome the animal nature. So, from the Buddhist point of view, we have to eradicate these three defilements, which is the cause of all the evil roots, to become perfectly enlightened human beings. So, it is the duty of all the religions to help human beings to cultivate virtuous qualities. Well, so now we understand why do we need religions. So religions, they introduce you the moral precepts, commandments, or precepts in Buddhism, or some other religions, they have got various kind of precepts. And it is to suppress this animal nature of the human mind. All the religions basically teach two things. What are these two things? Do not do evil, wicked, immoral, unwholesome things. But cultivate good, virtuous things. These two principles are taught by all the religions. But Buddhism goes another step further. This much is not enough. This is only first step in Buddhism. So, Buddhism goes further to say that you should cultivate, purify your mind in order to become enlightened by eradicating greed, hatred and delusion. This is where we come across the teachings of the Buddha in a different realm, different angle, different way. Well, here maybe it's important to ask another question. All religions are supposed to create peace, harmony, understanding among the humankind. They are supposed to bring the peace, not the terror. They are supposed to make understanding, not delusion. But did religions, did they bring this? Were they able to do it? So here are questions to ask. In fact, even though all the religious teachers, the founders of religions, they did it out of compassion and goodwill towards the humankind, the religious teachers who came into existence later on, in fact, they manipulated the religions. So when we understand and study the history of the humankind, we can see many wars had been waged in the name of the religions. Much more blood has been shed in the name of the religions. And we kill each other for the sake of the God. I belong to one category and I will kill you for the sake of my God. You belong to another category. And so, because of these differences, we kill each other. In fact, as I told you, many religions, they base on blind faith. Religions wants you to become deluded, blind, foolish, ignorant. When you become ignorant, foolish, deluded, religious people, leaders, they are very happy. Because religion is a human created software to control human beings. So throughout the history, politicians use the religions to achieve power, the political power. Religion is also used to control the human beings in different ways. So religion is a human created software. Even though it has got a good side, bad religions, which is motivated by blind faith, rooted in blind faith and ignorance, can bring so much destruction, sorrow, lamentation, pain, suffering for the humankind. Buddhism doesn't encourage this kind of religions. Many religions base on faith, but this faith is blind faith. So, in many religions, you are not allowed to ask questions, and they want you to believe what they say. And they do not want you to open your mouth and ask questions. So they want you to become prisoners of their religions and just believe and follow. And that is what happened in the past. And when you follow a religion out of blind faith, what happens? You become like a computer. And the computer will work depend on the software which was installed to it. Exactly in the same manner. You will work depend on this ignorant software, deluded software, which was installed to you. This software doesn't have any way to question. So it's a very dangerous type of software. If a religion is based on blind faith, that's a very dangerous type of software. Once you install it to your brain, what will happen to you? You become a prisoner. You become a slave to your religion. So religion has been manipulated in many ways. So what happens? When someone follows a religion out of blind faith, that person can be used for anything. So, they will teach you, well, you will be born in the heaven. Go and kill those human beings who are not belong to our category. belong to our religions. So killing the other human beings for the sake of your religion is a meritorious deed. You will be born in the heaven. The moment you blast here, and there will be seven virgins waiting for you in the heaven. Correct? So there are these kind of concepts. And people believe it. People do it. They go to the extreme to do it. And this is the danger of the religion. And if you see the history, you can see, what about Jesus Christ? He was crucified. Why? Because he was teaching something which the Orthodox religions at that time believed he is going against their system. They were so scared of this new person who was getting popular. So what did they do? They crucified him. Because they did not want their followers to become awakened to a different way of system of thinking. What did the Christian church did from around 12th century to the 19th century, 15th to 19th century, inquisitions in Europe countries, you can see hundreds and thousands of human beings were tortured and killed. Some of them were imprisoned. Why? They believed something which was against the religion. So those people who uphold various other ideas other than their religious concepts, they were killed or tortured or imprisoned. Some famous people among those scholars, scientists, Galileo Galilei, was imprisoned and died in 16th century. 2001, in Afghanistan, the extremist, the Islamist militia, what did they do? They said, no one else is suitable to be worshipped other than our God. And they destroyed all the Burmese Buddhist statues, which are the oldest and tallest Buddhist statues in the world. This is what will happen when we accept a religion out of blind faith and we do not question. Some of Buddhists who lately changed their religions or converted to become some other followers, and I have come across some, when their father or mother passed away and they do not attend the funeral because they are prohibited to uphold the joss-sticks. So they do not come and attend the funeral. They were brainwashed to such extent and they are deluded to such extent. The mother and father who gave birth, who brought them up, showed them the path, and donated to this society, made them intelligent, wise human beings at the end of their life, and they do not want to attend even to the funeral. And in our culture, offering a flower bouquet, it's a way of showing our respect, care, love. We give a flower bouquet to a mother or father, to our show our love, care. When you give a bunch of flowers to your girlfriend, you show your love. When you give a bunch of flowers to somebody who is sick, you wish good health. So when you give or offer a bit of flower to the Buddha, you show your respect. So these are different ways of showing our care, respect to the other people. It's not a ritual. In the same manner, when you offer a joss sticks in a temple or in a funeral place, we pay our respect in a different way. These are cultural the norms. So we should not accept it as rites and rituals and go to the extent to prevent all these things, thinking these are superstitious. It has got some meaning too. So some people, when they accept religion out of blind faith, and they can go to the extent to behave in this way. So that is the danger of accepting a religion out of blind faith. So religion is important, but following a religion out of blind faith is very, very dangerous to humankind. Well, having said so, what about Buddhism then? Isn't it another prison? Isn't Buddhism is our religion? Isn't it another prison? Another belief system that make you a prisoner? What is the difference between Buddhism and many other religions then? Well, as I told you, by nature religion is a good system. If you use it wisely, with open mind. But the danger of a religion is, if you accept a religion out of blind faith, that is the danger of it. Because once you accept something out of blind faith, you refrain from questioning. You accept and follow whatever they say out of blind faith. So sometimes in the history we can come across some religious cult. They use this brainwash system to kill other human beings, to use certain followers as their sex slaves, as well as to mass commit suicide. There are many religious cults. And even in Singapore, I think a few years back, one of a teenager boy managed to do it. He managed to convince few of his colleagues to jump down from a building, but this fellow did not. I do not know whether you all remember one of the incidents. I think, if I'm not wrong, maybe 4 to 5 years back, or maybe around 4 years. Well, there are secret societies related to religions. And as I told you, and religion is a human-created software. If you use it in a wise way, intelligent way, with open mind, it brings a lot of peace, harmony in your life. But if you accept it blindly and behave like a prisoner, you become a hindrance for your own progress, you become a hindrance, and you become a cause of suffering for your fellow brothers and sisters. So what about the Buddhism then? Well, the difference of the Buddhism is not based on blind faith. Many religions, their foundation is faith. Take out the faith, then all the religions will collapse to the ground. No religion can survive without faith. I do not want to label. You can understand those religions which are existing, study a bit of them, and try to take out the foundation, which is the faith. Many religions based on faith. The moment you take out the faith, the religion collapses to the ground. But Buddhism does not depend on the faith. The foundation of the Buddhism is understanding. Sammāditti, right understanding. So understanding is the foundation of the religion of Buddhism. So understanding is impossible without questioning, without freedom of thinking and free will. So you are encouraged to ask questions, re-questions, scrutinize and analyze and criticize. To understand, then that become a solid foundation of this system. So Buddhism based on right understanding. Right understanding is to be achieved by analyzing, scrutinizing. And Buddha says, just like a piece of gold, when it was given to a goldsmith, he will cut it, touch it, rub it, and test it against the touchstones to make sure whether it is a genuine piece of gold or not. Exactly in the same manner, when you come to the Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha, you should not accept it out of blind faith. You should test it, check it. So that is what he means. Ehi pasiko, come and check it yourself. Pacchattang veditabbo vinyuhi. This Dhamma should be understood by the wise people. Buddhism is for those people who question, those people who have got open mind. Buddhism is not for those people who just follow it out of blind faith. So you have to ask questions, re-questions. We always encourage you to ask questions. And you are not supposed to accept anything out of blind faith. And one of the very famous discourses, I think you all have heard, Kalama Sutta. And you will never come across in any other kind of religions this kind of discourse. Freedom of thinking and inquiry. I think many of you have heard about it. The people who lived in ancient country, which is Kesaputta, these people were known as Kalamas. Like people who live in Singapore, they were known as Singaporean. So these people who lived in this country, they were known as Kalamas. And this was a very prosperous city and famous city. And many religious teachers, when they passed by, they spent a few nights over there. So one day Buddha too visited on the way to another place. When Buddha visited this place, these Kalamas got together and came and paid respect to the Buddha and said, "Venerable sir, we have a question. We have a doubt to clarify." And what was the doubt? And they said, "Venerable sir, many religious teachers pass by this town. When one religious teacher comes to our town, he says, well, what I am teaching is the truth. Our God is the most powerful supreme God, not the other God. Our God is the supreme one, and the message of our God is the truth, not the others." Then another religious teacher comes after a few days, and he also repeats the same thing. He disparages all the other system and says, well, our religion is the best religion, not any other religions. So in this way, many religious teachers come and they uphold their own religion and disparage and discriminate and criticize all the other systems. And doubt arises in our mind, who is telling truth? What did the Buddha say? It is very reasonable to have a doubt. Then he gave this answer, this advice to this people, which is unique in human history, and we do not come across any other way other than in the Buddha's teaching when it comes to freedom of thinking. What did he say? Etta tumhe kalama ma anusoyena ma parampara ma itikiraya ma pitaka sampadanena ma takke hetu ma naya hetu ma akara parivitakena ma ditti nijjanakkantya ma samano no garuhi ma pabbarupataya so on so forth. He says, do not believe anything just because it comes down from tradition. Don't believe blindly. You should question it. Do not believe anything just because it is said by someone. You should question it, analyze it. Do not believe anything just because it is a monk who says it. Ma pabbarupataya. You should question it. Do not believe anything just because it is written in holy book or sacred scriptures. Pitaka sampadanena. Do not believe anything just because it seems so logically only. Go beyond the logic and try to understand it. And do not believe anything because scholars come and tell it to you. And so on and so forth. So he gives 10 factors over there. And he advised these people, yada tumhe kalama attano jane yate ime dhamma kusala ime dhamma akusala when you garahita samatta samadhin. He says, when you understand yourself certain things by analyzing, scrutinizing, using your common sense, when you understand certain things, then based on your understanding you should practice. And he simply gives some examples. What do you think? When greed, hatred, delusion, anger, ill will, jealousy, when these defilements arise in your mind, are you happy? They said, no, we are not happy. If you were to use these your speech or actions based on these defilements, do you think you will be happy or unhappy? So they will become unhappy. We will create unhappiness for the others. So Buddha says, well, in that case, you should avoid them. So in this way, when non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion, loving-kindness, compassion, goodwill, generosity, when these good thoughts arise in your mind and they condition for your happiness, when you're motivated by them, you become happiness for the others. You'll become source of happiness for many others. So you should behave in a good way. So in this way, Buddha gives an advice to these people to scrutinize, analyze, not to accept anything out of blind faith. So the same goes with the religions here. When it comes to Buddhism, you have to analyze it, scrutinize it. You should not accept anything out of blind faith. So Buddhism does not depend on the blind faith. In fact, blind faith is a hindrance for the progress. So Buddhism encourages right understanding. Buddhism is a religion of reasoning. And it is a religion full of compassion and wisdom. And it has to be followed with understanding. And understanding comes with questioning and analyzing. So Buddhism has given enough freedom for it. So Buddhism does not make you a prisoner of a religion. In fact, Buddhism is the way, the key, the gate to destroy these prisons. Why? It opens the doors for freedom and free will and thinking. Then, Buddhism also teach not only religion, but there are many other softwares we have installed to our system. And basically it is known as sanya. Sanya means perceptions. Language is a software. Religion is a software. Culture is a software. There are many others. I'm not trying to say the softwares are not nice. Some are beneficial, some are not. So Buddhism gives you, in the first place, the ability to differentiate what is good and bad. Punya and papa. So the people who understand the good software and bad software and encourage and use the good software, they move towards the good direction, the righteous directions, towards the enlightenment. So in this way, that is the beginning of the Buddhist practice. So Buddhist practice starts with Pariyatti, Patipatti and Pativede. Pariyatti means understanding. Patipatti means putting into practice. One is to understand the Dhamma, it is to be practiced. Then, Pativede. Why do you have to practice it? To realize. So in this way, when we cultivate, we will move towards the light. We will move from dark to light. We will move from light to light. When we follow the Noble Eightfold Path, in time to come, we will become noble, compassionate, wise individuals in the society. Become enlightened the human beings. So that is the purpose of the teachings of the Buddha. So I think this much is enough as a talk. And if you have got any questions, you will spend a little bit of time.
Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, today Sunday, you guys have been inoculated with the latest software, antivirus. Okay, we are inoculated with asking questions. Okay, don't blindly believe. So you are welcome to ask questions. We only got time for two questions. Okay, who wants to be the first one? Ah, this one, wise one, inoculated.
Good morning, Venerable. Thank you for a very succinct and very informative talk. Now, on the question of Buddhism and the other religions, so to speak, once I asked one of my ex-colleagues, he have adopted a different religion. I wouldn't say which one. But anyway, so... And we were discussing, right? Yeah. So very quickly, the gist of it was that he says, "Oh, you believe Buddha, no? Yeah, but Buddha was a human, so he believes in God, which is more perfect, and therefore he says that." So underlying it, my observation is that Buddhists believe in ourselves, the ability to realize the truth, whereas non-Buddhists have lack of confidence in themselves and need to have a supreme being to fall back on to realize the truth. Is that the correct observation? Thanks.
At the first beginning of this talk, I explained how this concept of God came into existence in the human mind. In Buddhism, we also recognize a group of beings that we call devas, celestial beings. Other than the human planes of existence, there are many other planes of existence where living beings can live. One group of beings are known as gods, but the Buddhist concept of gods is different. Buddhism does not teach these so-called gods, they are superior or necessarily intelligent and wiser than the human beings. Buddha never make human beings lower to any other kind of beings, any other kind of supernatural beings. In fact, from the Buddhist point of view, human mind has got so much power, so much capacity to develop it to the maximum level to become perfectly enlightened Buddhas. So each and every human being has got potential to become the Buddha. So human beings, we have got the abilities, capacities to become enlightened. That is what the Buddha teach. No doubt, Buddha is a human teacher, but not an ordinary human teacher. Well, immediately after his enlightenment, he was walking along a main road. He was in fact from Buddha Gaya to Varanasi, where he gave the first sermon. On the way, he met a Brahmin. The moment the Brahmin saw the Buddha, he could not understand what kind of human being is he, because of his majestic looking. He looks so radiant, so pleasant, faculties are very clear, and he could not understand who is that. So he approached the Buddha and he asked these questions. Who are you? Are you a god? Because he looked like God. Because so majestic. And said, I'm not a god. Then he asked, well, in that case, are you a yaka? The word yaka is used for the devil. So if you are not a god, are you a devil then? Then he said, no, I'm not, also not a devil. Then he asked, well, then are you a human being? Said, I'm also not a human being. Then what the hell are you? Then Buddha said, he explained why he is not a god, why he is not a devil, why he is not an ordinary human being. He says, well, if you call me a god, I'm not suitable for it. Why? The gods have got greed, hatred and delusion. The gods sometimes punish you, correct? When the gods are angry, the gods can punish not only you, to your sons and daughters and to your many others. And Buddha said, those greed, hatred and delusion and all the other defects, weak points, I have discarded, eradicated, irreversibly. So, you cannot call me a god, because I'm not suitable. I don't have those defilements, evil points in me. And he said, if you call me a devil, then I'm also not suitable for it. Because devils, they are full of evil qualities again. They have got greed, hatred and delusion. And I have discarded them. If you call me a human being, still I'm not a human being in that sense. Why? Ordinary human beings, they have got greed, hatred and delusion. And in me, I don't have greed, hatred and delusion. So you can call me the Buddha. Buddha means awakened one. So when we call the Buddha, he goes beyond all these categories. No doubt, he was born as ordinary human being like you and me. And by cultivating, by using his own power, human mind, he found the way, technique, the method to eradicate all the defilements and attain perfect enlightenment. And from that day onward, we call him Acharya Manusa, a wonderful human being. Tathagata, the one who thus came. The Buddha, the enlightened one, awakened one, so on so forth. So many names are given to him. Like a lotus flower. A lotus flower arises in the mud. But once after it blooms, it is stay there without touching with muddy water. Exactly in the same manner, being born among the ordinary human beings with greed, hatred and delusion, having come out with this mud, lived with like a lotus flower, with perfect purity, without greed, without hatred and delusion. So Buddha says, not only I can do that, you all can do it. And he showed us the path. And he is the only religious teacher, again I have to emphasize, who said, each and every one of you can become a Buddha. And each and every one of you has got the potential to become like me. And he showed it path. And many other hundreds and thousands of human beings followed the path and became like him. So, in Buddhists, we believe we have the potential to become enlightened. And no doubt in many other religious systems, they believe they need a superpower, a god to help them to become enlightened. It's a different system of thinking, different software.
Okay, I think we are in short of time, so we'll just end here.